Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Back to reality. Back to life. Back to reality.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. What y'all talking about in the YouTube chat? If you want to join the YouTube chat, it's so easy, and it costs $0 and 0 cents. You search 101.7 The Truth on the YouTube, hit subscribe, and holy smokes, it's like magic. Your smile will be brighter. You'll have a little more pep in your step. And actually, here's the thing. It does something to your libido. Seriously. Those people that are in the YouTube chat, they'll tell you. Makes you horny. Reginald says, I told y'all Bob's saxophone doubles as a smoking apparatus. Could you imagine Bob high? Woo! That's not something I ever want to experience. Linda says, it's like they get empowered for being politically ignorant. Make it make sense. There's a, I guess I'll call it an analogy. Maybe it's a philosophy. The most ignorant, ill-informed, misinformed people. I'm talking about pure dum-dums, right? Think that they're geniuses. You ever met these people? They don't know, almost said a cuss word. They don't know sugar honey iced tea from Shinola. Shinola is old shoe polish. But boy, oh boy, do they have the world figured out. Dumb as a box of rocks. Don't know nothing about nothing. The only things they know are just the things that they know. Nothing outside of that. They don't challenge their own viewpoints. They don't even ask themselves, like, why do I believe this? They are just thoroughly committed to their very limited knowledge. In fact, the dumber the person is, the smarter they think they are. Not only the dumber the person is, the smarter they think they are, they believe that they have this incredible authority to tell you how misinformed you are. Oh, they'll go very, very far into letting you know how smart they are and they have everything figured out. You know how you can tell a dumb person? For those of you that can't figure it out, it's usually pretty obvious. They tell you how smart they are. Like, well, I'm smart. No. I know about this stuff, Sherwin. I'm smart. A smart person never has to say that. Let me tell you why. Because very intelligent people, highly intellectual people, you get overwhelmed by how much stuff you realize you don't know. The more you know, the more you realize, holy smokes, there's an entire universe of things that I literally know nothing about. So the smarter the person is, more often than not, the more humble they are. Because as you learn things, you're like, whoa, I lived my whole life and I didn't know that, or I didn't know this. Or if you're exposed to new information, and the best information is the information that gets you to challenge your widely held beliefs. Oh, if I could think of this quote. Was it Mark Twain? It's something like, it's not what you don't know that hurts you. It's what you know that just ain't so. So it's not the ignorance. It's just believing in things that are inherently false is more dangerous than being uninformed in the first place. And a lot of that is in our politics. You ever sat down with a Trumper? I mean, hardcore. I hate the libs. I hate Joe Biden. Let's go Brandon. I hate Kamala Harris. Hate Hillary Clinton. You ever sat down and talked to a pure MAGA? Xavier says he has. It is fascinating. I don't try to convince them. I don't try to change their minds, because it usually starts with them poking at me, because every so often they'll find their way to 101.7 The Truth. Maybe they listen to a podcast. Maybe they find me on YouTube. Well, okay, Sherwin. Okay, then. If the Democrats are so great, then tell me blah, blah, blah. And Sherwin, you're going to sit here and tell me, you're going to tell me that you actually supported and voted for Joe Biden. Next thing you're going to say is you probably got the vaccine, too. I don't even try to convince these people otherwise. I try to ascertain how they got that way. And all they watch Fox News, they're in the echo chamber, and a lot of it is just limited exposure. A lot of it is race-based. They just have this understanding that people of other races, like if you are, let's say you're black and poor to one of these MAGA people. And it's crazy because they're just as poor as you. Oh, this is the best part. Love these conversations, right? So you got a hardcore MAGA. Oh, my God, they love Trump. I'm talking about one of those people that it doesn't matter that Trump was on Epstein Island. It doesn't matter that Trump said affordability is a joke. It doesn't matter that Donald Trump didn't do anything with a bipartisan housing bill because it bored him. It doesn't matter that Donald Trump put us in another war. It doesn't matter that the Strait of Hormuz is controlled by Iran. Like, it literally does not matter to those people. Trump can do no wrong. And it's interesting because I'm trying to see, like, where their line is. And so far, they haven't hit it yet because everybody has a line. Like, oh, that's enough. Okay, I'm not supporting Trump anymore because he did this or he said that or he is making himself rich. They have not yet reached. They haven't reached their line. And having a conversation with these folks, right? And so they'll look at a poor black person and they'll look at a black neighbor. Look at your neighborhood. Look at that. You black people are lazy. You don't want to work. And they'll think that just being black inherently means inferiority. And I'll let them say that. And you get very angry, but you have to, like, muster up the courage to not fire back at them, because otherwise you want to punch them in the face. And then you don't want to fight a MAGA person because they got nothing to lose. And they'll say, you know, you blacks have all this opportunity and you blacks are lazy, like you blacks are inherently inferior, okay? But then I'll ask them about their socioeconomic situation, and they may be poor too. They maybe grew up on food stamps. They know what a government cheese, grilled cheese tastes like, just like anybody else, right? And I'll ask them why they're poor, why they're in a destitute situation, why they're making minimum wage, why they can't afford their bills, why they haven't climbed the corporate ladder like so many of the people that they emulate. And you know what they do? They'll blame black people. Wait. But black people are inferior. Look at us and look at our culture and look at all of the violence. But hey, white MAGA person, why are you poor? Because the blacks take all the jobs and all the affirmative action. Affirmative action is gone. DEI is gone. What is your excuse? Now, usually, they get very angry because they realize that they have been lied to their entire life. Or a better one is, they'll blame the Mexicans. Well, why are you poor? If a white person is poor and you fell beneath the cracks, it's always somebody else's fault. Maybe you just suck. It's okay. No. You have to realize sometimes that you suck, and then you're like, oh, man, it's me. Starting tomorrow, I think I'm going to suck less. But what happens is they become so good at sucking that they're looking for any excuse other than looking inward and their antiquated views and their bias and their racism as the reason why they are in this situation. Now, I'm also not saying that some black people are in their situation just because of institutional and structural racism. Some black folks just are, they're just lazy. Some are. Some white folks are lazy. Never met a lazy Mexican, though. I don't know. I'm just sorry. I haven't been. Is that racist to say that Mexicans work really, really hard? That's not racist, is it?
No.
Okay. They just.
Not all of them work that hard, though.
I bet there's some.
I know some lazy Mexicans.
Do you?
Yes.
So what are they doing right now? Even the lazy Mexicans, you know, I guarantee they're at work right now. They just took a day off of their third job. Oh, I need to take a day off. I'm working too many jobs. No, there's lazy people in all races. But having these conversations with the MAGA folks, because we do share this nation with them, and they have a particular kind of political power that is steeped in their own ignorance. And if you can give them someone else to blame, they will very, very quickly do it. And it's sad. It is. Let's see what else we got going on here. I'm not going to entertain the YouTube chat, and ain't no telling what y'all got going on. From CBS 58, after a bruising primary campaign ended in the early morning hours, Wisconsin Democrats quickly pivoted to show a united front behind David Crowley. The party hosted several events throughout the area. That would be yesterday, Wednesday, August 12th. David Crowley has the full support of dozens of party leaders, office holders, and candidates, all of whom are joining him on a statewide blitz to kick off the general campaign. Crowley told CBS 58 after his last event of the day that, quote, "It was amazing. There's nothing like having your neighbors, your mentors, your teachers, those who've seen you grow up in this community come out to support you." He said when Milwaukee's vote totals came in and delivered him a victory, quote, "Honestly, it was surreal. Not only, that's it. It was surreal." Short on sleep and at a loss for words, a victorious Crowley returned to Milwaukee as the Democratic nominee for governor. Wednesday's Democratic tour of unity was kicked off by Crowley's hometown victory speech, where he welcomed all voters into the Democratic tent. Crowley said, "It's about building something bigger than any one campaign. It's about building a movement, y'all." He then went to the Democratic Unity Breakfast in Madison, heading a table that included primary opponents Kelda Royce, Joel Brennan, Francesca Hong. Crowley said in Madison, "We know that we need to bring everybody to the table." His running mate, Sarah Godlewski, joined him at each event. She said, "We are united to defeat Tom Tiffany this November." In Racine, Democratic candidates up and down the ballot rallied for Crowley. Then it was on to Milwaukee. County Chair Marcelia Nicholson Bovell told the crowd, "What a night, huh? Oh, my gosh, I'm tired." So at some point, ladies and gentlemen, please indulge me for a moment. Let's just go ahead and assume that we put in a lot of work and we're talking to our friends and our family and our coworkers and our neighbors. And we're making sure everybody is registered to vote and we're informing people on the issues and everybody is ready to do their thing on November 3rd. Maybe some of you vote early. Maybe some of you vote by mail. Maybe some vote in person, but we're going to be very, very ready. Let's say he wins. Let's say he pulls it off. Let's say we work very, very hard and we do all the things that we need to do. We work hard and we donate a little bit of money. You got to give them a little bit of money. I know you guys don't like to donate money to political campaigns. I'd have to say that this one is probably worth it, especially when you see how they are going to disrespect and denigrate the entire African-American community, the Trump administration and the Trump campaign apparatus. They're going to do some really, really despicable things. And I think that we need to be a firewall to push back on some of that, because I'm just not going to let them talk about us the way that they want to. Okay. We can fight back with a couple little few dollars. Kick in David a little $5, $3, $17, $19. Ain't going to hurt you. Don't spend that money on weed. Buy less weed. Buy a little less weed. A little less. Not as much as you buy. You buy too much. And plus, they're going to flock camera you. You know that? If you go to the places with the dispensaries, if you go to the Illinois or the Michigan, they're going to flock you. And then they're going to arrest you for having the weed. Just saying. So buy less weed, give David a little bit of money, and let's say he wins. We'll be very happy when he wins. But then we got to get to governing. But also, we're going to have to stay involved. You don't just elect somebody and then walk away and be like, okay, here you go. Here, you're elected. Now do all the stuff. They still need our guidance and our participation. We still have to be connected to our state legislators because they are the ones that create the budgets. You know, we need money. We need resources. But we have to ask for it, and we never show up for budget meetings. Don't worry. I'll keep you informed. But then what if he wins? Now we got to get a new county executive. We're going to have another race for county executive. Oh, you haven't thought about that, have you? David Crowley gets elected governor. We're going to need a new county executive. So here's what's going to happen in the meantime. David wins. He gets inaugurated first week of January of 2027. All right. Marcelia Nicholson Bovell will then be the acting county executive. Now, I talked to Marcy a couple of weeks ago, and we went through this scenario Would she, so she, there'd be an election for county executive now. So when David is elected governor, he's sworn in. Because you can't be county executive and governor at the same time. Terrible conflict of interest. Because then David could say, the entire $100 billion Wisconsin state budget is all going to Milwaukee. A lot of folks would be mad about that. So you can't have someone be county executive and governor at the same time, even though it'd be fun for a couple of weeks. Marcelia becomes the county executive. Will she run for a full term or to finish the term of David Crowley? Or will she not run and allow a very, very, very crowded primary of people to run for county executive? Here is what I suspect and what I predict will happen. She will not run for county executive because I think I know what she's keeping her powder dry for. At some point, Gwen Moore is going to look at life outside of Congress, and the life that Gwen Moore sees outside of Congress is going to be more beautiful than the life she sees inside of it. You understand it? So if you thought that this primary for governor on the Democratic side was busy and was crowded, you wait until the seat opens up. I always get the district mixed up because when I worked there, it was the fifth. It's the fourth congressional district. When Gwen Moore decides she wants to retire, you will probably have 20 people in that Democratic primary. Republicans will try as well, but they're not going to win. That will be an absolute mess. I think that Marcelia would rather remain chairwoman of the county board, let another person get elected county executive, and then when Gwen Moore sees that life outside of Congress as one that is more peaceful and more beautiful and more relaxing and more stress-free, and Gwen Moore says, hey, everybody, you know, Gwen, I'm not going to run again. And then she does that thing where people jump up and they click their heels. I could see her doing that. So I think Marcy would run for Congress. Mandela would run, too. Oh, I know he would. Why wouldn't he? The hell else is he doing? A whole bunch of people would run. But now we have to think about who we would want as county executive. You might have a couple members of the Milwaukee Common Council run for county executive. You'll probably have several members of the Milwaukee County Board that will run for county executive. And that's not a small position by any means. When you think about it, it is, in fact, a stepping stone to governor. Because Scott Walker was county executive. David Crowley was county executive. One became governor, one might become governor. So that's a very coveted position. And also, Milwaukee County is the largest county population-wise, resource-wise, in the entire state of Wisconsin. So the executive of this county, that's a really high-level political position. So we got to start thinking about who do we want to be in the county executive position. I think it's time for a lady county exec. We got to get some ladies in the executive positions. I just think it's time for it. I don't know what it is that women are just not. For the people that were angry at the commentary and the remarks that they were hearing that, oh, Francesca couldn't get elected governor, don't automatically assume that that's misogynistic. I hate when people do that. So if I was to say I didn't think that Fran could win a general election, I'm not saying it because she's a woman. I'm saying it because how the Republicans could fashion their campaign, because they could make a campaign against her that's not even on the issues, because people will forget the issues because they'll attack her so many different ways for some of her unusual views, unorthodox views, and even her past tweets. And she made a big mistake, but I also think she learned a valuable lesson. You can't waste any of your precious time in a crowded primary or in any campaign where you have limited resources and a limited resource of time explaining stuff you did a long time ago. You can't spend a lot of time on that. Just a little bit of time. And then you say, we're not talking about that anymore. I've already explained it. She just kept, I don't know what it is with Thanksgiving. Y'all got mad about that. You couldn't cancel Thanksgiving if you tried. What are you going to do? How do you cancel Thanksgiving? Go from the Wednesday right to Friday? You just cancel Thursday? You'll cancel the fourth Thursday in November? I'm still going to my mama's house and eating turkey and dressing and collard greens and candied yams and macaroni and cheese. Can't cancel that. The truth was sure when he was a B-Right Pack.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Come on, Stevie. And let me tell you, girl, whatever happens this November, Wisconsin is going to end up with one of its most improbable governors ever. As a result of Tuesday's primary election, Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany will face Democratic Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who pulled off a historically narrow primary victory and a historically big upset over Madison State lawmaker Francesca Hong. I saw David on no less than 3 national interviews yesterday. That's a lot. You're getting a lot of attention.
Tom Tiffany's on Fox News right now.
Did you say it over there?
Yes. All right.
Don't nobody care what's going on Fox News. He's more limited, I think, in like big, widely broadcast media. I think there's more NBC News, MS Now, CNN, and a whole bunch of other subsidiaries in which David can speak with credibility and authority. I think Tom Tiffany might be a little bit more limited because I just don't see Tom Tiffany going on CNN or MS Now or whatever. What makes each of these men unlikely governor? Let's start with Crowley, whose bid for governor appeared to be over last month when he dropped out of the race for 10 days and endorsed another candidate. I got to eat a lot of crow because I thought that damn thing was over. I did, and I saw the polls, and I know that in a primary, because they weren't really drawing any – I got to explain myself here. They weren't drawing any distinctions between one another. They weren't, oh, I agree with that. Oh, yeah, I agree with that too. Yeah, we got to fully fund public education. Oh, yeah, no data centers, except David Collins was like, maybe data center. He's like, maybe a little data center. But they all, we're not AIPAC funded. They all were just agreeing on all of the things. And so the inconsistency of the in the race, out of the race, I thought the voters would look at that as, oh, here's something that we can see some contrast. But there was a very unusual combination of events that I don't think that anyone foresaw. So the impact and the power of Tony Evers' endorsement, it's got some weight. But I still stand firm, and I've been reading what other pundits are saying, and I'm reading stuff they're posting on social media and other journalists. Nobody is including the votes that Kelda took from Francesca. Like, that is the most obvious situation where Francesca lost at least 10,000 votes, minimum, because Kelda voters said that their number two choice was Francesca. Their third choice was David Crowley. So Kelda, Francesca, then David. So had Kelda dropped out, oh, absolutely, David would have received some of those votes, but Francesca would have received more. And with the 60,000 votes that Kelda got, quite honestly, unnecessarily, because she had no pathway to victory. Hell, we see more than 60,000 votes in a Milwaukee race for mayor. That's what she got statewide. But she stayed in the race just to take enough votes from the leading progressive candidate because they represented the exact same space. It would be like Mayor Cavalier Johnson and David Crowley both running for governor and splitting the Milwaukee vote and then giving the nomination to Francesca. That is the best analogy I can give. Because, you know, Chevy wanted to run for governor too. All y'all didn't know that? Up until fairly recently, Cavalier Johnson was mad that he didn't get in the race. I'm thinking to myself, bro, for what? You didn't want no nan part of that. You didn't want to be a part of that mess. That was some care. And look, Chevy might have dropped out too. Oh, I'm gonna drop out of the race. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to get back in. Sorry, I'm going to drop out. Didn't check my calendar. Got a whole bunch of stuff. Got to drop out again. Chevy is fine as mayor because we don't really hold him to anything. We just get mad at him every now and again. Like, oh, the mayor should be doing more. But then you realize, what really can he do? When you think about it, really, really give it some thought. You can't lead the city of Milwaukee. Nobody listens. even if you told the people in this city what to do, because doesn't leadership, aren't they supposed to, like, direct you? Maybe not tell you what to do, but just, like, provide a roadmap or something. We wouldn't listen to Chevy. So I don't know why people even get mad at their quote-unquote black elected officials. You're not going to listen to them. Our elected officials aren't doing anything. Okay, let's say they are doing stuff. And they're telling us that we need to be more involved, more engaged. We won't listen to them. It's insane. Let's start with Crowley, whose bid for governor appeared to be over last month when he dropped out of the race for 10 days and endorsed another candidate, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, after seemingly going nowhere in the campaign. Then he jumped back in when the Rodriguez campaign abruptly unraveled and rode a very large surge to claim Wisconsin's closest gubernatorial primary in more than 80 years. Crowley would be the first elected Democrat from Milwaukee to win a governor's race since the 19th century, Wisconsin's first black governor, and at 40, one of its youngest. Of all of those things that were said, I don't think that people care all that much that he's younger. And that might even be a net benefit for him, because I think we're sick of old people. Aren't we sick of old people? Just a little bit. Everybody's so old. And I can say that as someone who is fast approaching old. If I got too old, I don't even think I'd run for office, because I'd say I'm too old. Like, I can't relate to the kids. I can't. If you can't relate to the kids, then you shouldn't be running for office to represent them. The kids are weird. They do weird stuff. They dress weird. They talk weird. Like, sometimes I see young people, I'm just like, ugh. You know, that's not the right attitude to have. If you want to represent people and run for office, you're not supposed to say, ugh, when you see young people.
Power is one hell of a drug.
It is, and it's also wasted on the powerful. And just like youth is wasted on the young, too. But I think we're sick of old people. So David being young, probably a net benefit, even though 40 is not. I mean, it's middle age, kind of. The strongest argument against him, it's not even his race. I don't think so. I think people are hurting so bad and want the state of Wisconsin to move in a different direction, like something that's somewhat independent from Donald Trump, just a little bit. Because Wisconsin does have a bit of an independent streak, a little bit, or we used to. Because we'd elect people like Russ Feingold. Russ Feingold is not getting the respect that he deserves. History is not being nearly kind enough to him, especially when the Patriot Act passed 99-1. Russ was like, this is terrible. They're going to spy on you. Now look at us. The National Defense Authorization Act, plus the social media that we have right now, plus we found out, I don't know, about 10 years ago that our cell phone companies were doing data dumps to the federal government. All that stuff came from the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act allows the U.S. government, flock cameras. All this is Patriot Act stuff. Russ was like, y'all shouldn't, we should think about this. Shut up, Russ Feingold. America's under attack, and they blew up the Twin Towers. Patriot Act. We need to have it. Russ was like, no. It's going to be real bad because it's gonna be too much. Warrantless wiretaps? You can accuse anybody of being a terrorist. How do you think Donald Trump has the political motivation to say we're going to go after far-left groups as terrorists? Because if you name somebody as a terrorist, even if they're not, they can be one of your political opponents. You can look at their bank accounts. You can look at their internet history. You can tap their phones. You can do all of this stuff and not even get permission from the court to do it. This is all Patriot Act stuff. I remember when the members of Congress all stood on the steps of the Capitol and sang God Bless America. And when I saw that, I wasn't like all warm and fuzzy inside. I'm like, this is a weird kind of indoctrination. Like, this is cultish. It's just something about September 11th that 25 years later has not sat well with me. Now, you know, every September 11th or there's about, I do my September 11th special. I always dedicate a broadcast to what happened on that fateful day because it changed the whole world. Between September 11th and COVID, I don't even. Do you remember getting to the airport 10 minutes before your flight? Come on in. Come on. But the metal detector just went off. So what? I remember because I flew out of Boston Logan. Boston Logan was one of the airports that the hijackers flew out of, right? So I was in Boston for a week. This is back in 2000. And we were in Boston for a week, and I bought a fake Rolex watch off of a street vendor. It was like $20. It looked real to me. And so we're on our way. We get to the airport. We're about to get on our flight. And so I got this gigantic fake Rolex on my wrist. Like this, I'm telling you, I don't even think we had to like take off watches and empty your pockets going through airport metal detectors. Most people don't remember this. Back before September 11th, you just walk through and, oh, okay, what do you got in your pocket? All right, go ahead and get on the plane. Like we just never even suspected. I just know that it was, security was lax. So I go through the metal detector. And it goes off like crazy, like goes nuts. And I look back at the security guy. He was like, go ahead. I could have had 37 shotguns, 27 box cutters, an Uzi. Just let me go. But then less than a year later, maybe they took advantage of that lax security and they flew out of Boston Logan. And you know what happened after that. But I've always been very skeptical of what happened was September 11th because of the amount of power that we then ascribed to the executive branch. We created the Department of Homeland Security. And what does that do? It spies on Americans. Take a break, come back. Probably continue ranting about stuff. What day of the week is September 11th on? Am I on air that day? Is that a day during the week? That'll be fun. Because you guys all get triggered. September. Wait, September is next month. This is August. September 11th. Oh, it's a Friday. Oh, baby, mark your calendars. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
First Gen Postdoc says, Boston has some incredible seafood, by the way. I like Boston, actually. Everybody says the people in Boston are mean. They're no worse than Milwaukee people. Milwaukee people are horrible. We're nice to everybody else. I think we all hate each other, though. Milwaukee folks are weird. We're not inherently friendly, I don't think. If I'm out and just a random person, this shouldn't be. And maybe we're too guarded and too defensive. Maybe that's what it is. But if I'm out minding my business, hanging out with some friends or whatever, and a random stranger comes up to me and starts talking, I'm like, who are you? Leave me alone. I don't know you. Get away. I think too many of us, let me speak for myself. I'm not speaking for y'all. Some of y'all are probably really friendly. I think we go out to hang out with our friends and our family. We go out to hang out with the people that we're out with. We don't necessarily go out to meet people. Because if we went out to meet people, I think more people would go out by themselves. If you go out by yourself, which you should be able to do, and I've done it before, but it's kind of weird. It's a little bit weird. If I go to a bar by myself, you look, men at bars by themselves, you look kind of lonely and creepy. And if you're a man by yourself and you happen to start up a conversation with a woman, you look like a pervert. That doesn't mean that he is a pervert. You look like one. And then a woman who goes out by herself, well, we know what that is. She's a prostitute, obviously. She's looking for a date. No, that's me just being stereotypical, but it's just kind of weird, isn't it? Somebody goes out by themselves. I'm going out to eat by myself. I rather enjoy it because the bill is a lot less. It's not like, so if I go out to take myself out to eat, the bill is $20. Let's say I go to Solito Lindo and I get my cheese enchiladas and my rice and my beans, okay? With tip, $20. Best $20 you can spend, by the way. But let's say I went with another person. Doesn't even have to be a date. If I just went with another person, I order the exact same thing, and they order whatever they order. So if I go by myself, it's $20. If you go out to eat with somebody else, it's $140. Not worth it. No thank you. And then they order more food than you, more expensive food. They drink more than you. And all of a sudden, we got to split the bill. But I don't say nothing. I just split the damn bill. I'm not one of those people. Well, I only had this, and I only owe $6.22. No, you split the damn bill. And if you don't like the people that you're going out with because they may be heavy orderers, then don't go out to eat with those people at all. But there is something weird about going out by yourself. I don't think Milwaukee folks are particularly friendly, but people that come to visit from out of town always remark on how friendly Milwaukee people are. And I'm thinking to myself, where are you going? Like, where? Or maybe when we find out that somebody's from another city, we're real nice to them because we're wondering, why in the hell would you come here for what? Because we see the problems, or at least I do. And then I'm starting to read all these different lists where Milwaukee is becoming a destination. There are people that are moving from, like, Chicago people. This is their number one destination. They're moving to Milwaukee. In fact, you got people from all over the country that are now starting to discover the city of Milwaukee. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because I tend to be a little skeptical of outsiders. Like, what are you bringing? I hope you're not bringing more problems and bringing more trouble like the Chicago people did back in the 80s and the 90s. Y'all brought the worst of the worst and all of the crime. They made the crack epidemic worse. I don't know. Illinois people like drugs. I think that's what it is. I mean, they got legal weed.
I got drugs in my booty.
And that's exactly how they bring the drugs up here from Illinois. We're not a particularly friendly place. I mean, just look how mean the Democratic primary got amongst the supporters of the different candidates. And a lot of those supporters were incredibly insufferable. And it's unfortunate because the candidates were very nice to each other. I could see if the candidates were going back and forth, if they were sparring, and if they were, you know, disrespecting one another on the campaign trail. They all smiled at each other and shook hands. Never really challenged one another, but boy, oh boy, did some of their supporters really go at it. Yeah, I never really understood people saying, oh, Milwaukee is such a lovely and nice place. And another one they'll say, oh, your downtown is so clean. Probably. Go a little bit north or a little bit south, though. Just a little bit. You don't even got to go far. If you think downtown is so clean, go ahead and go into the neighborhoods. In fact, venture into a neighborhood like late February, early March, and see if you keep that same energy. Milwaukee is so clean. In the wintertime, people literally throw anything and everything in the snow. And then it snows again, and the garbage gets covered by the snow, and they'll throw more garbage, and it gets covered by the snow. And then when we get our big thaw, people, like, there's a whole couch. People left a mattress and a bed frame. People will leave a Chevrolet, just a whole car. And, oh, look, the snow melted. Hey, somebody left their car here. And all of the just the trash and the garbage. It's so bad. We have to have citywide neighborhood cleanups. So that's why I see the contrast and folks saying, oh, Milwaukee is so clean. Takes a lot of effort for that. But also downtown, like, there's people I see whose job it is to pick up garbage downtown. Isn't that crazy that you can make an income picking up garbage downtown? That's the craziest thing ever. I feel like I need to go into a September 11th rant. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the governor's race, and people need to be involved and engaged, and you got to make sure that David Crowley is given grace to travel to other parts of the state, because he's going to be talking to the country people and the rural people. He's going to spend just as much time talking about rural farmland as he is issues in the city of Milwaukee, and I don't want any of us here to feel left out because David is not talking about the problems in Milwaukee. Just let him... let him convince all of those other people that he is trustworthy enough to get their vote. Let's get him elected governor, and then we can have all the conversations about all of the things. Okay? All right. Take a break. Come back. Continue chatting. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk to Xavier about his love life. Things going okay for you?
Yeah. They're always very interesting.
I'll bet they are. You like women with dirty feet, though.
No, I don't. Actually, cleanliness is one of my pet peeves. I can't deal with any kind of weird smells.
Oh, God, it's so bad.
Yes, weird smells, that's automatic. No.
But you said a girl from River West, and they all...
She was very nice, very put together, professional woman.
What does she do?
She's a midwife and a teacher. A professor, I should say.
She's real liberal, ain't she? So she delivers babies.
Yes. Oh, no, she's like way more left-wing than I am.
What? So yeah. She's a communist.
Oh, yeah.
So she's a Bolshevik.
Oh, yeah. She had me defending the police. She was talking about getting rid of police and everything. She had me defending the police, saying that we need them.
Oh, man, I couldn't deal with that. That's too much. I don't like talking politics with someone I got personal interest in, unless we totally agree, but I'd rather not talk about it because if somebody has a weird view, like, I won't like them anymore.
Oh, no, that makes it interesting for me. I like a little confrontation.
Clearly. All right, let's take a break. Come back. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be back shortly.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Jasmine Jazz West says, what? I love a solo meal or a solo live music poetry slam. Oh, absolutely. Sometimes going to things by yourself is very liberating because you can just experience it just on your own. You don't got to deal with another person. I've gone on vacation by myself before. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that for everybody. If I go to a city like Las Vegas, oh, I don't need another human being with me. Las Vegas is absolutely everything that I need 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In fact, sometimes taking another person with you will slow you down. I once vacationed with a girlfriend. I don't know if I'll ever do that again. No, thank you. Women are not for vacationing with. There's no way.
What?
Uh-uh. Hell no.
I always have fun.
No. They want to do different stuff.
No.
Well, here's the thing. I'll vacation with a girlfriend, but just don't make me come with you when you go do woman stuff. I'm not going shopping with you. I'm not going and holding your bags while you shop. You go and look at stuff that you ain't even going to buy. I'm not going and doing all that. I want to chill. I want to rest. When I go on vacation, I like to vacay.
You have women that want to go shopping on vacation?
Good God, yes. Oh, okay. Lord have mercy. Especially women with money. Yes. Yeesh. No thanks. I don't put an itinerary together. I'm not trying to say, oh, well, I got to do this, and on Tuesday we're going to do this, and on Wednesday we got to go. No. How I feel when I wake up determines what we're going to do. Some days I want to chill. I don't have to make the most of every single moment. I don't have a scarcity mindset. Like, we have to do all these things. Like, I don't want vacation to be stressful because now you got to fit in all this stuff. You got to be here by 5 o'clock, and reservation is at 7, and I just want to chill now. I'm a leisurely kind of person. In fact, when I go on vacation, I like very nice accommodations. I don't like hotels anymore. I like Airbnbs because if you live in a house, when you go on vacation, you also want something similar to a house. And if you have an Airbnb, you can go to the grocery store. You can buy food. You can prepare food right there at the Airbnb instead of having to eat out every single meal. That gets tedious. And also, sometimes you get a hotel room, ain't no refrigerator. Where are you going to put your leftovers at? I don't like that. I'm real specific when I vacation. I just got to or go on vacation. She does her thing. I do my thing. We meet back up for dinner. But because it's a woman, you always got to be mindful of a woman's safety. I'd be like, all right, now be careful. Don't get stolen because we're in Florida. So if you get stolen, I'm not going to know how to find you. So you got to protect yourself now because I'm not there to look after you. That's fine. I'll meet up for dinner. I'll see you later on tonight. I'm going to chill. I'm going to go down to the beach. I'm going to go do my little thing. Can't go on no vacation with them. But no, doing things by yourself is great. It's liberating. But I was just mentioning if you went to a bar by yourself, if I know people there or if I know the owner or the manager, that's a little bit different. But just walking into a bar just solo by yourself and just sitting there at the bar all hunched over, you look like an alcoholic. You look sad. You look depressed.
Hi, bartender. Let me get a gin and tonic.
Oh, I'm just a little lonely.
Because you can't even really approach people anymore. You can't. It's weird. If somebody comes up to me that I don't know, it's weird. Is that me? Especially men. Men want to talk to you at the urinal. Don't do that.
You've had that happen?
Yeah, I had that happen here at the Third Street Market all going pee-pee.
See, that's why I go to pee. That's why I go pee in the stall.
I was thinking about it. I need to not.
It's way better. You don't have to worry about people looking at you, talking to you.
I don't want to. Here's what it is. This is probably going to come across as weirdly homophobic, but I promise you it's not. Or maybe it is. Well, let's discuss it. Maybe we can use this as a counseling session for me. Even if I know you, okay, and we're both at urinals that are, I guess, parallel, right next to each other, parallel. We're at parallel urinals, okay? You're doing your thing. I'm doing my thing. There's only one thing you should be doing in a urinal, okay? So I'm doing my thing. He's doing his thing, okay? I don't want to engage in conversation with another man while we are both holding our penises. That's not the time to talk. It's just not. Wait until we've finished, zipped up, and then we're at the sink washing our hands. Oh, hey, Sherwin. Hey, man. How are you? Oh, man, I'm good. How's things going? Oh, okay, cool. Everything going all right? Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. How's the family? Our family is good. And then you get your paper towel. Oh, here's a paper towel for you. All right, thank you, man. And then that's when you talk, but not when we're both at the same time holding our respective junks. That's not when you talk. But I also have to realize that some people are just inherently really super friendly and outgoing. And that's just weird to me.
No, that's weird.
I'm an introvert, 100%. I am every definition of an introvert. I gain energy in small groups. I lose energy in large groups. I can do big meetings and big events. I can do keynote addresses. When they did the Trayvon Martin rally and you had 3,000 people in front of the federal courthouse and I emceed that, oh, I absolutely can do it, but I'm so exhausted afterwards. People exhaust me. And they may wonder, oh, Sherwin, how can you do radio every single day as an introvert? It's just me and Xavier here. I'm talking to one person, basically, and Linda and Bob. That's basically how I see it. Maybe Vanessa, maybe Jasmine Jazz West. Reginald Jones, he simply talks to himself, so he doesn't even need anybody. Even if there was nobody in the YouTube chat, he would just be carrying on a conversation about, you know, cucumbers, asphalt, astrology, chicken legs. He just kind of types just to himself for 3 straight hours, sometimes in a different language. He's just happy to be typing things to people. So it's very possible to be an introvert. In fact, you'll find a vast majority of us in this industry are fairly introverted people. Maybe not Homer. I think Homer probably likes the big crowds of people. Well, he does that birthday party for the kids every year, which, oh, speaking of kids, you know it's almost that time here in Milwaukee. The time in Milwaukee that I think is almost bigger than the gunshots, New Year's Eve and Christmas, Easter. Even Thanksgiving, which Francesca Hong wants to get rid of. You know what time I'm talking about. It's a very special time of year. It's very exciting. It's full of jubilation and celebration. Lots of revelry this time of year. Back to school, where you're going to have a backpack giveaway every 19 seconds. Oh, I've already seen some of the ads and the commercials and the PSAs. I was watching local news this morning. And they're talking about doing all these different backpack giveaways. You know, Irish Fest starts this weekend if you want to go and, I guess, get drunk, because that's what the Irish do. No. Don't get mad at me because I say the Irish are drunk. Look at the mascot of Notre Dame. It's a little small Irish midget with his dukes up. The Irish are fighters. They're violent people, and they drink lots of alcohol. To get into Irish Fest, you can bring school supplies. So we are in that season where we provide all of the school supplies because we want to fully fund public education. And so we get the kids backpacks and have school supply drives and backpack giveaways, but won't teach the damn kids how to read. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour 3.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.